from tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2011 Passover Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, April the 23rd, 2011. Carla Batard is the speaker of the service teaching on Desolation, Curse of Tamar.
Well, tonight we are going to operate in faith, believing that God's Word is true and that deliverance is the children's bread. We need it. And He gave it to us. He commanded us to preach the gospel of the kingdom, to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. We can't get past that one, and praise God, because without it, we live in tormented places. So to start out, if y'all would, I know you just sat down, but would you please stand up again? Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for shedding Your blood to give us victory, to give us life. I thank You for giving us authority, the use of Your name, and power over all the power of the enemy. And tonight, we are going to exercise that power over all the power of the enemy. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I bind every spirit of the witch, every spirit of the wizard, the warlock, and the witch doctor. I bind every spirit working from the kingdom of darkness against this meeting, against this campground, against the saints of God all over the world, in Jesus' name. I send out the warring angels to scramble the plans and the assignments that the enemy has against each one of us, in the name of Jesus. Lord, send Your Holy Spirit tonight, Your ministering angels, Your angels of deliverance, warring angels to fight in the heavenlies above this place, that we'll have an open heaven tonight. And I ask You to bind them and carry them out with chains and escort them to wherever You would have them go. I bind every spirit of unbelief right now in the name of Jesus. I bind every religious spirit that would block this message in the name of Jesus. And I bind the Antichrist spirit in Jesus' name. And Lord, I speak to the dry bones. O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Come, O Holy Spirit, and breathe on these that are slain. Breathe Your breath into them that they might know You, the true and living God, in the name of Jesus. You can be seated. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 13. This is something the Lord showed me a couple of years ago, and I have shared this with the women in the women's meetings. But God showed me that this is a message for men also. Women are not the only ones who have suffered the torment of the enemy. So we're going to start in chapter 13 of 2 Samuel. And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so distressed that he fell sick for his sister, Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. This was her half-brother. And he knew that he was not to fall in love or lust after his sister. But a lot of times we know that something is not supposed to be, and yet it is. Verse 3, but Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. Now this was Amnon's cousin, who is fixing to give him some bad advice. I say to the young people, be careful who you listen to. Be careful who you get your advice from. Even adults, I would say be careful who you get your advice from. The word subtle is the very same word that is used of Satan, of the serpent. And that word means, let's see, cunning, usually in a bad sense. Webster's Dictionary says, trick or stratagem intended to ensnare or deceive, a skillful or ingenious in gaining an end. He was subtle. And he said unto Amnon, why art thou being the king's son lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, lay thee down in thy bed, and pretend that thou art sick. And when thy father come to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me food, and prepare the food in my sight, that I may see it and eat it at her hand. And so he does that. Now in verse 11, and when she had brought them unto him to eat, she made these cakes. He took hold of her and said unto her, come lie with me, my sister. You know, I skipped over those scriptures, but I should not have. Let's go back to verse 6. So Amnon lay down and pretended that he was sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar my sister come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat at her hand. Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, go now to thy brother Amnon's house and prepare a meal for him. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down, and she took flour and kneaded it, and made the cakes in his sight, and did bake the cakes. And she took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, send out all men from me. And they went out, every man from him. So now they are alone in his bedchamber. And Amnon said unto Tamar, bring the food into the chamber, that I may eat of thine hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made, and brought them into the chamber to Amnon her brother. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her, and said unto her, come, lie with me, my sister. And she answered him, nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. And where shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. So we see that he rapes her. She has lost her will to resist, and now she has been forced. Verse 15. This is interesting. He is so in love with her, so driven by lust, that he rapes her. And in verse 15 it says, then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, arise, be gone. Now he hated her. He really didn't hate her. He was mad at himself. He really hated himself for what he had done, that he had stooped so low to this level to have done this to his sister. But many times, when we are angry with ourselves, we take it out on other people. So he hates her now. And she said unto him, there is no cause. This evil in sending me away is greater than the other that thou didst unto me. But he would not hearken unto her. Then he called his servant that ministered unto him and said, put now, not Tamar, but this woman out from me, and bolt the door after her. You can just see them throwing her out after she has been violated by her brother, and now she's thrown out. And you know, it wasn't gently. She was tossed out of that room in disarray, heartbroken, probably in shock, and then you hear that big heavy door slam in that lock. You can just hear it. She hears that. And she had a garment of several colors upon her, for with such robes were the king's daughters who were virgins appareled. See, she had, everyone in that kingdom knew that she was a virgin because the virgins wore a beautiful, colorful garment. Every man who looked upon her knew that she was a virgin. And if we could see in the spirit realm, we have a garment. Men and women, a spiritual garment of the virgin, of purity, of innocence. So now, then, the virgins were appareled with this colorful garment. Then his servant brought her out and bolted the door after her, and Tamar put ashes on her head. That was always a sign of grief and mourning and devastation. It was a literal thing. They actually put ashes on their head. And, you know, I have this spiritual bulletin board where I put my questions to God. I have curiosities, you know, like I worked in the grocery store when I was in a depression and just needed to get out of the house. And worked at a grocery store, and one day this girl came through the line, and she had this big smudge on her forehead, and I said, "Oh, you've got something all over your forehead." And yeah, it was Ash Wednesday. She said, "Oh yes, it's Ash Wednesday." And I said, "Oh," I said, "Why do y'all do that?" And she goes, "I really couldn't tell you." So I believe this when I saw this, you know, because it's around, is it around this time of year when they have Ash Wednesday? I don't really know. But anyway, I know that that's probably a religious ceremony of wearing the ashes of being grieved over the death, the crucifixion of Christ. That's just, I believe, the answer to that. So she was in mourning now. And she tore her garment of several colors that was on her because now she's not a virgin. She doesn't deserve this beautiful garment that virgins wore. So she tore it. Now, many times when people were got bad news and things, they would tear their clothing. Or if they were real angry, they would tear their clothing. But Tamar tore her garment. And the significance was because she was not a virgin any longer. And when a person is violated in the spirit realm, their garment is rent. And the demons can see this. The spirit realm, if we could see in the spirit realm, we would be amazed at the things that are blatantly open to the demons. They see that. They know. Okay, then it says she laid her hands on her head and went on her way crying. She is devastated. Okay, verse 20. And Absalom, her brother, said unto her, now you know that if these young people were in close proximity, and it sounds like they were, they kind of hung out together like our kids do, and you know that Absalom had seen the way Amnon would look at Tamar. He knew that Amnon was lusting after his sister. Now, if we were talking about generational curses, we could see that this lust problem came down the family line because David saw Bathsheba, lusted after her, and took her for himself. She was married. Led to murder. Okay, so now we're seeing some results of the generational curses that are working in us today. In verse 20, and Absalom, her brother, said unto her, he knew immediately. When he saw her, he knew what happened, and said, hath Amnon, thy brother, been with thee? And now listen to this. she said, yes, you know, I'm sure she's just telling him everything that happened. And he says, but hold now thy peace, my sister. Don't tell anybody. Don't say anything. This is what happens when something terrible happens in a family. It's usually hush-hushed. Nobody talks about it. Nobody says anything. So the thing just keeps going generation to generation to generation. And it's the same, like if you don't take care of the fleas on your dog, before long, the fleas have covered the dog. It looks sickly, and they're jumping off into the house, and they're eating on you. If you don't deal with things, they will multiply. Actually, you know, a kingdom principle is multiplication and increase. Everything that God is about multiplication and increase. A grain, a stalk, many ears, many grains. Well, it works the same way in the kingdom of darkness. You don't deal with it, it multiplies and increases. So he tells her to hold her peace. Now, I know I have a brother, and if I had a problem and went to him, I would expect him to come to my defense. Do something about this. Take up for me. Fight for me. And he says, hold now thy peace. He is thy brother. Regard not this thing. Can you imagine? Regard not this thing. How does something like that happen to a person and they are supposed to not regard it? Their whole life has just been changed, messed with by the devil, and yet don't even think anything about it. Well, that's easy to say for the person who it hasn't happened to. The next sentence is the one that caught my eye. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. And we never hear about Tamar again, because that's what desolation does. She was a young girl. All of us who are young girls, we thought about our prince. She was really a princess. She was thinking about her prince, her husband-to-be, her castle, her children, her family, all the dreams that girls dream. And guys dream it too. So, at some point, as I read through the Old Testament, I had circled those in really dark ink. So, Tamar remained desolate. So, another question on my spiritual bulletin board for years, because I got saved when I was 23, and I was in hot pursuit of everything that God had, and God Himself. And so I went, if I knew that there was going to be a meeting and there were going to be seasoned men and women of God who would share the gospel, I went. I wanted to know. I was hungry for the things of the Lord. And I began to notice that in these meetings were lots of single women. Lots of single women. Lots of single men, too, but, you know, I was a woman, so I noticed the women. There were married couples there too. You know, it's always been a desire of mine to have Mike here with me in every meeting that I go to, no matter where I go. But because of his job, he's not able to do that. So I was by myself, and he wasn't in hot pursuit of God like I was. So there was a situation in itself. But he never denied me the hot pursuit of God, which was a blessing to my life. As now, as I go around and hear women's struggles in their desire for God, whose husbands don't want them to go, you know, causes lots of problems. I never had that problem, and that was a blessing to my life. And so, here was the question. Lord, all these women here, they're available, they desire to be married, and yet they can't seem to find a husband. What's the problem? And men. There are men 40, 35, want to be married, can't seem to find a mate. What is the deal? And one day I just opened my Bible to read, and just before I went to where I wanted to read, it fell open to that, and I saw those words, "So Tamar remained desolate." And I thought, there is something here. And there is something here. Everywhere you go, you're going to find people who, you know, I used to wonder about Dr. Null. He would walk around and pray for these people, you know, and he would begin to ask questions. He'd lean in. You didn't know what he was asking them. And the person would begin to cry and break down and things, you know. And I always thought, wow, Lord, how does he do that? But, you know, I've learned that the more you start learning about deliverance, the more you start learning about particular spirits and how they manifest, you begin to recognize these spirits. It's almost like going to medical school. You know, you go to the doctor, well, I'm having a pain right over here, and, you know, and so everything that you tell him, he's making note of, and it leads him in a certain direction, just like deliverance. The doctors do it in the physical, we do it in the spiritual. Everything that is spiritual has a physical ramification. So God's been showing me some things, and so now I know when I meet these people who have these manifestations, and we're going to talk about those manifestations. First of all, the word desolation means devastation. Tamar was devastated, and it resulted in her living desolate. The word devastation or desolation means devastation. Figuratively, it means astonishment. And the word astonishment means amazement, great surprise, in this case, a bad one. You know, there are good surprises and there are bad surprises. And in this case, it was a bad surprise. It means dismay that hinders or throws into confusion. So you're going to find confusion in people who have been raped, molested, even, we'll see later, who have suffered some kind of trauma. Maybe it wasn't rape. Maybe it wasn't molestation. Maybe they were in a terrible accident and it threw them into trauma and devastation and astonishment. It means desolate, waste, and ruined. The primary root is to stun or grow numb, devastate, stupefy. The word stupefy, the root is to be astonished. Here again, stricken with sudden wonder. Stupefy means to make stupid or slow of mind, unthinking, irrational, having a lack of control or guidance, being unreasonable. It suggests control by some force other than reason. It works in your life. It's not even reasonable, these things that are happening. It means obtuse, lacking sharpness or quickness of wit. See, I've begun to learn that when I look up these words, it's going to give me a list of manifestations, descriptions of the spirit. It means dulled in feeling or sensation or incapable of feeling or sensation. It can mean like being swallowed up or taken captive. See, one of the things that Jesus said, he said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and I am anointed to preach the gospel to the poor, to recover the sight to the blind, to preach deliverance to the captive. See, these people are taken captive. I prayed for a little boy once who was a foster child at a ministry that I went to teach at, and the Lord told me that that little boy had been taken captive. He had autism. I was talking to the little boy, and the foster mother said, he doesn't know what you're saying. He can't understand. He doesn't talk. He's not comprehending. And I said, well, do you mind if I just talk to him anyway? Well, yeah, if you want to, go ahead. I just told him how glad I was that he was there and how happy it was to have him there with us. And so the next morning, I mean, I was just grieved over this child. And God told me that he had been taken captive. His parents were in a battle and they lost. And he had been taken captive. And that autism was his form of captivity. So I shared that with the pastor. And so he had me pray for the little boy. He said, I'd like for you to come forward and just do whatever you think needs to be done. Well, that was, I didn't know. I hadn't given any other thought other than that, you know. So when I prayed for the little boy, I had everybody come up and pray for the little boy. And I anointed him and I put my hands on his head and called him out of captivity, out of that hiding place. They called it autism, so I bound the spirit of autism. And I spoke to his mind I called forth his communicative skills. I spoke to his brain to function and make the connections that he needed to make to come out of this place. Well, you know, I just prayed what I wanted to happen. Well, nothing happened right then. But several months later, they called and invited me to go somewhere else with them, and then told me that the little boy was now speaking, knows people by name. He's singing, learning his ABCs. He's learning to read. He's like a normal six-year-old. So that's what we carry in ourselves when Jesus is in us. It becomes what we need to give to the world and what the world needs through Jesus Christ. Okay, so it can be caused by shock or trauma. And the word trauma, the root is a wound, a bodily injury caused by a physical force applied from without. It's an outer force that happens to somebody, a trauma. It could be a car wreck. I don't know. Whatever your trauma is, if you've suffered a trauma, it can also be a part of this desolation, spirit of desolation. A disordered psyche or behavioral state resulting from stress or injury. It can cause stupor, which is a state of extreme indifference or lethargy resulting from stress or shock. So a person who has been sexually abused, mentally abused, physically abused, verbally abused, raped, betrayed, abandoned, in an accident, all of these things can bring this desolation upon a person. It can also cause arrested development, because when something horrendous, when a trauma happens to a little child, there are coping mechanisms. You know, you may have memory lapses when things like that happen. If it's too horrible for the child to handle, then they go someplace else in their mind. And so they may not remember the thing that's happened, but have all of these manifestations working in their life. Okay. The Webster's definition of desolation is the condition of being desolate, a barren wasteland, grief, sadness, loneliness. Desolate, in the Webster, is abandoned, alone, lacking inhabitants and visitors, forsaken, lonely, neglected. So you see how this works. And you can see it in people sometimes. They're just sad. They're lifeless. Another definition means deserted, like left in the lurch. Well, I didn't know what that meant, so I looked up lurch. And it's a helpless or unsupported position or not protected. That's what being left in the lurch means. So you see a lot of little children who are being sexually abused. they're left in the lurch. They go to mom or dad or somebody. Actually, most of the time, the violator will threaten the child, just like Absalom said, but hold now thy peace. Don't talk about it. Don't tell anybody. I tell my little granddaughter, anybody who tells you don't tell mama or don't tell Grammy, you come immediately. Because the devil, see, he does things in secret. And the devil has his greatest power in the area of your secrets. That's where he works. Because he blackmails you with whatever it is. He'll say, if you tell anybody, they're going to feel differently about you. Huh, they're not going to have you in their circle. They're not going to, you know, the devil is just, he's just a liar, a rotten liar. But our problem is we fall for it out of fear. Fear of rejection. Being rejected. It means dilapidated, decaying, to decline in health, strength, or vigor. So you see people who are just kind of wasting away. It means barren, not reproducing, unproductive, just can't seem to do anything with their life. They're stuck. It could be that they're barren, can't have children. Or they'll open a business and it fails. You know, can have far-reaching effects on the life. Lacking interest, information, or charm. A synonym is sterile. Lifeless, having no life, dead, inanimate, lacking qualities, expressive of life and vigor. They just are kind of shut down. It affects their personality. It means cheerless, lacking in warmth or kindliness, depressed and sad. It can cause a person to be gloomy, melancholy, low-spirited, dismal, dejected, cast down in spirit, despondent, discouraged, or disheartened. That's a lot. It's a lot. Now, the arrested development, when I prayed for that little boy, that's one of the things that I did. I addressed arrested development because I was asking God some things about my children. I mean, my children, they're adults. 30, 29, and 27. Two of them have smoked pot, drank, you know. And I was up here, probably, this was probably about 4 years ago, and Mike called and he says, well, I don't want to damper your trip, but, you know, Kyle got arrested again. And I said, for what? Pot? So when we got off the phone, I said, Lord, what is the deal? I mean, they're not 15. They're adults. And they're still doing immature things. And he said, because he may be 25 in his chronological age, but mentally, emotionally, socially, he stopped developing at the age he started smoking pot. Now that was an insight. And I see it. I can see it. It's an arrested development. So I said, well, how do we fix that? You know? So he gave me the instruction to, when I pray for them, of course, they have to want it. If they still want to smoke their pot, I'm not wasting my prayer to do this. But I've done it on other people. I did it on the little boy with autism. You lay your hands on them. So if people are willing, you can pray this for them. You lay your hands on them, on their heads, and you call for a supernatural maturity to come forth to the age that they are. You know, the first time I did it, I went year by year by year by year by year. And then I came to a guy who was 55, and I thought, well, how old were you when you started smoking pot? 11. I'm thinking, okay, we're going to do this by fives, okay? But we're going to start with 15. We're going to start with 10 because I'm not good in math. So I can't start at 11 and go. You just call for the supernatural maturity of the mind of the 10-year-old. I call a supernatural maturity to the mind of the 15-year-old. You know, and lo and behold, it works. So that's for y'all to do whenever you pray for someone who has arrested development, no matter what it's from. If it's, you know, if the child was 2 years old, I prayed for someone one time who I didn't know they had been molested. This was probably about 5 years ago, and I noticed all these things about this person. And they always came crying, needing help, but would never say what the thing was they needed help with. So I was praying for the person, and I heard something. Now, this was something that when I first got involved with learning about deliverance, my Uncle Ernie Marzullo sent me a box with everything that Frank Marzullo had written, taught, VCR tapes. I mean, it was a lot of stuff. And I immediately started just gobbling it up because it was so, I thought, this makes so much sense, you know. No wonder this is what is missing from the Christian life is deliverance, casting out these demons. So I would get delivered. You know, the word says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. As I read those things, I was being delivered. I mean, just those spirits would leave. It's like shining a light on a dark spot where bugs are. And you shine the light on it, and they scatter. And so one of the little booklets that he had was called The Spirit of the Bride of Satan. I read it. It didn't make any sense to me. I had no understanding of it at all because it involved the occult, which I knew nothing about. And so, you know, it, as I said, you read the word gets in your heart, the Holy Spirit brings it to you when you have need of it. So I'm standing in front of this girl. She's sobbing every time I ever saw her. Year after year after year, she was sobbing, sobbing, sobbing. And I finally just said, Lord, what is it? And I heard that. So I didn't want anybody else to hear me, so I got right in her ear, and I said, I speak to the spirit of the bride of Satan. And I mean, she had this violent reaction and just fell like a dead man on the ground. Well, I didn't know what to do. I was like, oh my goodness. You know, so I was going to turn her over. She was like nailed to the ground. I could not turn her over. So I called somebody to help me. We got her turned over. She wasn't breathing. Now, this is a serious thing. See, Satan would rather kill you than let go of you. So I just bound the spirit of death and commanded breath into her. Well, she breathed. But she was like a zombie. We couldn't reach her no matter what we did. So all of a sudden, I just saw her as this little 5-year-old wounded child. And so I just sat down and rocked her. And she began to cry. And then she began to talk to me like a 5-year-old little girl. I thought that was interesting. See, it's that arrested, she was arrested at that age. And then she began to tell me some things. And it was all wrapped up in this. She had been molested. And even as an adult, though the molestation took place, I don't know how long it took place, but it took place. But here she is an adult, but she's being tormented, 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 tormented. Because what I didn't realize with that spirit of the bride of Satan is that now the person wasn't molesting her, but a spirit of incubus was visiting her night after night after night. And she was tormented by this thing. But she didn't want to tell anybody because it's shame. It causes a person to feel shame. That's what Tamar felt. She said, where will my shame? Where shall I cause my shame to go? She was shamed by that that happened to her. Okay, so So there is a lot that goes into this. I call it the curse of Tamar. Not limited to a woman, but to men as well. And that's what the Lord said. Give it to everybody. Because the men, there are men who need this. So my question tonight is, has anybody violated you? Has anybody caused trauma to you? Molested you or raped you? Has a family member incested you? See, what happens, and the sad part about this, is the person who does this is also a victim, being used by demons to cause them to do whatever they're doing. And because there's no help, seemingly, they kept it quiet, and so it just continues and continues. Well, I say it's time to stop the madness of this spirit. What happens is, if granddaddy or great-granddaddy was molesting all the little granddaughters, of course, nobody knows about it till old grandpa dies, and then everybody starts talking about it, and they find out they're not the only one. Everybody in the family has happened to. And then, of course, they're adults now and maybe have done that to their own children. It just keeps going and keeps going. So it can come down through the family bloodline. Maybe you're being visited by an incubus spirit and you've never been molested. But maybe somebody back there was, and so this spirit has traveled down the family line. When a woman is raped or a young boy is molested, There is a spiritual exchange that happens, because the Word says the two shall become one. And that's not just limited to marriage. Anytime you have sexual relationships with somebody, there is a spiritual exchange. It's almost like a blood transfusion, only it's a spiritual transfusion. And those spirits come in. So maybe a mother was molested. The children haven't been molested, but the children are acting out things that happen to people who are molested. And I used to think, you know, before I understood the demonic, you take a little child that's acting out like that, and they go to school and they're acting out like this. Well, the teachers are, they have to report that to Child Protective Services. And then the home is investigated for molestation. And if you put, you bring a jury into a room and tell them what that child is acting like, they're going to believe that mom or dad is molesting them. And they may be totally innocent. I would have been one of those who said, oh, something's happening to that baby. Babies just don't do that. Well, yes, they do. They do. Because of these demonic influences. So there are familiar spirits. I've known women who were raped when they were 16, but don't talk about it. There may be a couple that know about it, but don't, you know, you just certainly don't want the children to know that. And then the children come along, and there is a familiar spirit of rape that attached itself from the mother to the child, and then at 16 she gets raped. Is that a coincidence? No. These familiar spirits, that little girl's walking around, and there's a familiar spirit of the victim of rape. And then there's a man who's a rapist who has the familiar spirit of the rapist, and the rapist sees the familiar spirit of the victim, and they're drawn together. That's what we don't understand. It's like a spirit guide. In the demonic, they understand spirit guides. The Indians, Native American Indians, understand spirit guides. They give them to their kids. You may be of that descent and have a spirit guide working in your life, and you don't even know it. See, that's why it's good to know what's in your generational line. Well, yeah, well, what if you're adopted? Which my grandmother was. You know, when I was about to have a nervous breakdown, I wanted to know who the mentally ill person was. Where are they in my bloodline? Because nobody else. Well, then later we find out that, well, yeah, the grandmother spent some time in bed, and she had these bouts, episodes. Nobody ever said what they were. There was mental illness that resulted in one of my uncles committing suicide. So we just don't know what is in our bloodline. But I'll tell you what, if a seed falls in a ground, you may not know what the seed is, but you'll know it when it comes up. You'll recognize, oh, I know what that is. That's a geranium. You know? And so we think that we can be like an oak tree and take our baby who's full of oak, the characteristics of an oak tree, but you can put it over under a pecan tree, and you can treat it like a pecan, and you can teach it to be a pecan, but when the thing comes up, when it takes root and gives fruit, it's going to be an oak tree, because that's what was the seed. And we have in our seed, the man carries the seed. And in the seed, there's many things we don't know about. Because those generational iniquities come down the third and the fourth generation, and that's like 64 people to every baby. If I did the math right, might have been 32. You figure it out. Anyway, it's a bunch. That gene pool is full of all kinds of stuff that we didn't even know the great-great-grandfather. But his seed is coming down. So it's important for us, as we see these things, not to keep them quiet. Don't keep these things secret. Get rid of it. That's where Satan's working. You come to a deliverance camp, talk about the deepest, darkest thing that Satan is bugging you with. So there are familiar spirits there. So anytime I address a demon and cast it out, I give leave to every familiar spirit that comes with it. Every familiar spirit. Because they're standing back here. You may cast a demon out and then later find out that you're still, you have the demon of lust cast out, but you're still drawing these lusty people because the familiar spirit is still there. So we need to address the familiar spirit. And the spirit of the bride of Satan, what happens is whenever molestation takes place, rape, incest, fornication, any of these sins of perversion in the occult, the rituals of dedicating babies and giving them over for sexual ceremonies and all kinds of things, what happens in all that perversion, it can come through pornography. Anything perverted, what happens is Satan begins to claim you as his bride. Even to the point where you can't enjoy sex with your husband or wife. You can only enjoy perverted sex because Satan has claimed you as his bride. That's why it's important to break the spirit of the bride of Satan. I give him a spiritual writ of divorcement in the name of Jesus and cast it out. Okay, so maybe you weren't, that the girl that was talking like a 5-year-old, what she told me was the mean man does this. The mean man comes and does that. And do you know that the mean man is mentioned in Scripture? There's 4 places. I was surprised to find the mean man in the Scripture. Proverbs 22:29, Isaiah 2:9, Isaiah 5:15, Isaiah 31:8. And it means, mean means having no light and evil. It means a hypocrite, an actor. And is that not true of like pedophiles? They're actors. They pretend to love kids. They're acting because they want to get to the children. It's a hypocrite, a common sort of low degree and deceptive. It means dark, having no light, or hidden. Webster says obscure, poor, shabby, not honorable, not worthy, unkind, wicked, stingy, miserly, spiteful, malicious disposition. The mean man. So when I pray for someone who's been molested, I bind the mean man and break his power and command it to go. The mean man. So maybe you weren't raped or molested. Maybe someone betrayed you. Betrayal, like Tamar. She was betrayed by her brother, who should have fought, who should have gone to the dad and had him dealt with, but instead told her to keep it quiet. So that's betrayal. In many cases, children are molested. They go to the mother, or if it's the mother, they go to the daddy, and they're told to keep it quiet. That's a betrayal. You go to that person who was to protect you, and they betray your trust, and that messes with the person's trust forevermore. Rape means to seize, take away by force, ravish, to transport with emotion. You can have emotional rape. You can be emotionally raped. You can be financially raped. Maybe yours was a betrayal having to do with money. You know, that causes a lot of problems. Someone rips you off and people can't get over it. So you open the door for these things to come into your life. It means to plunder, rob with an invasion. You know these home invasions that happen? It leaves them desolate. It can happen through abandonment, through adultery. It can happen through divorce. Somebody dumps you. Somebody that totally ignores you. The death of someone. You know, sometimes this happens to children because their parents die. They don't understand. All they know is they're not there anymore. And they feel abandoned. And then it brings in anger. Anger's all involved. Rage. Hatred. Murder, wanting to murder the person, getting back the vengeance, revenge, wishing ill will or even death. Fear comes in, fear of man, fear of intimacy, flashbacks, memory recall, just playing, the thing plays over and over and over and over and you just can't get free of it. Blocked memories, you're having all these problems and you don't even know why. There's guilt involved, shame, self-hatred. It's just a really widespread thing. So we want to deal with desolation tonight, the curse of Tamar. So we're just going to go ahead and start doing some deliverance. Lord, right now I ask you to cover everybody with the blood of Jesus. Lord, I ask that at the time that the Spirit leaves, I ask you to send quickly your Holy Spirit to heal and restore. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I come against the curse of Tamar. I bind and break the curse of Tamar in the name of Jesus. Desolation, I bind you and break your power and command you to go now. Shock. I bind you and break your power. Shock, go. Trauma, go. Astonishment, go. In Jesus' name. Stupor, all stupor spirits, go. Let me find those. Extreme indifference, lethargy, resulting from stress or shock. Just being dull, not having a life and vigor. I bind that spirit of stupor right now in the name of Jesus. Indifference, forgetfulness. I bind forgetfulness in the name of Jesus. All that confusion that came in Jesus' name. I bind confusion and break it off your minds right now in the name of Jesus. Sluggishness, sluggish in mind, sluggish in body. go in the name of Jesus. Melancholy, I bind you and break your power. Melancholy, go in the name of Jesus. Dismal and despondency, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. Get out of God's people in Jesus' name. All discouragement, I bind you and break your power. Discouragement, disheartenedness, go in the name of Jesus. Grief and sadness, I bind you right now in Jesus' name. I break your power and command you to go. Grief and sadness, sorrow, loneliness, go in the name of Jesus. Secretiveness, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Let it go, let it out, expose it in the name of Jesus. I bind all secretiveness, all isolation, isolation by the devil, isolation by family members, in the name of Jesus. I break your power, isolation, I call you out of that hiding place in Jesus' name. Depression, oppression, go. Death wishes, go. Suicide, I bind you and break your power and command you to go in Jesus' name. All self-hatred, I bind you and command you to go. I break your power, self-hatred, false guilt, feeling like it was your fault. You may have even been told it was your fault. I break that false guilt off of you right now in the name of Jesus. I bind you, I break your power and command you to go. Shame, I bind you and break your power. Shame, go in the name of Jesus. Self-destruction, all spirits of self-destruction, cutting, piercing yourself, starving yourself, hurting yourself, in Jesus' name. All self-destruction behaviors, I bind you and break your power. Eating disorders, obesity, in the name of Jesus. All anorexia, bulimia, addictions, bondages, I bind the spirit of bondage to alcohol, drugs, food, fantasy. I bind you and break your power. Addictions, all bondages. Whatever you're anesthetizing yourself, whatever you're comforting yourself with, I bind it right now in Jesus' name. Bring it to Jesus. He is able to heal, to comfort, and to cure. I come against fantasy, all fantasy of, if you've looked at pornography, all the fantasy lust, dreaming of these people in your minds, in the name of Jesus, I bind you and break your power. I speak to multiple personalities right now. Multiple personality disorder. Having different personalities. Being bipolar, multiple polar, scattered. All delusion, insanity, mental illness. I bind you and break your power. I speak healing to your minds right now in Jesus' name. I come against arrested development. All arrested development. Put your hands on your head and say, I bind arrested development. I speak a supernatural maturity to my mind for the age of, and then say your age. To whatever age you are, I'm 57. I speak a supernatural maturity of the 57-year-old and I speak healing to that mind. I command arrested development, loose them and let them go in Jesus' name. Immaturity, not wanting to grow up, being afraid to grow up, being afraid to be responsible, being afraid to be a parent in Jesus' name. I speak to the Peter Pan syndrome, never wanting to grow up in the name of Jesus. I bind you and break your power. I come against betrayal. All spirits of betrayal, I remove the knife of betrayal out of your backs right now in the name of Jesus. That knife of betrayal in the name of Jesus. I break your power and command you to go. Whoever, and forgive now that person that should have protected you that didn't. Forgive them, whoever they were. Forgive the person who violated you, whether it was a family member, a coach, a Boy Scout leader, a pastor, a youth worker, your teacher, your brother or your sister, aunt, uncle, cousins, whoever it was, forgive them now, knowing that they were a victim as well. Betrayal by husband, betrayal, all betrayal by husband in the name of Jesus. I come against abandonment, being abandoned through being shunned or by death or by divorce, the father or the husband leaving the home, your mother or father who left the home and left you abandoned, I come against all abandonment in the name of Jesus. I break your power and command you to go. All distrust, not able to trust anybody. I tear down that wall of protection that you put up around yourself so nobody will ever hurt you again. I break the vow that you've made to yourself that I'll never have another man. I'll never be in another relationship. I break all of those vows that you've made to yourself in the name of Jesus. I come against anger, all anger, deep anger, rage, murder, in the name of Jesus. I bind you and break your power in Jesus' name. Anger at yourself, maybe. I should have never gone to that place. I should have known that was going to happen. I come against all anger at yourself in the name of Jesus. Forgive yourself if you went someplace and or maybe drank too much or whatever happened. Maybe you went into the house with them and you shouldn't have. Maybe you had someone come in your house and they ended up hurting you. Forgive yourself. Forgive whoever should have come to your aid and didn't. Forgive God, because we all become like Adam when things happen to us. It was you. Adam said, it was that woman you gave me. We always come around to blaming God. So forgive him. Ask God to forgive you for blaming him. Forgive that you blamed God by saying, why did you let this happen to me? How did this happen to me? Where were you when this was happening to me? I just come against all of those questions that the devil would have you blame God in the name of Jesus. I come against rage and murder. Rage, I bind you and break your power. Revenge, wishing will ill on a person in the name of Jesus. I come against all unforgiveness, bitterness, man-hatred in the name of Jesus. I bind you and break your power. I bind the spirit of fear right now. That spirit of fear that it's going to happen again, or that you revisit the fear of when it happened to you, the fear of being found out, fear of the dark, fear of going to sleep, fear of sleeping by yourself, of nightmares, fear of nightmares. I bind you, fear, in the name of Jesus. I bind flashbacks in the name of Jesus. Memory recall, I bind you and break your power. I command that incident to be wiped from your memories right now by the shed blood of Jesus, never to be replayed again in the name of Jesus. Hatred of fear men, all men, and man-hatred. Fear of mother, fear of daddy, fear of uncle, coaches, doctors, siblings, babysitter, whoever it was. Fear, and not a fear of not being wanted because of what happened to you. Fear that you are damaged goods. Fear that nobody's going to ever want you. Fear that you're not worthy to be loved anymore. In the name of Jesus, I come against pain right now. I speak to the pain in your body, in your mind, your spirit, your emotions. I speak to that pain. I bind it and break its power and command it to go. Deep hurt, brokenheartedness. I speak to brokenheartedness right now. I speak healing to all the broken hearts of anything that caused trauma to you or hurt you, betrayed you. I just speak to all the broken hearts to be healed right now. Jesus said that he is anointed to heal the brokenhearted, and if he is in us, we have that same anointing. I speak to the broken hearts. Be healed right now in Jesus' name. I come against self-pity. All self-pity, like I'm the only one this has happened to, you could never understand. All self-pity, I bind you and break your power. Poor me, nobody understands. I'm all alone in this. I can't tell anybody. Nobody would understand. I bind that and break it in Jesus' name. I come against weakness, declining health, dilapidation. I bind you and break your power. I come against autoimmune diseases that are a result of self-hatred. You have self-hatred, so your body begins to attack its own self. autoimmune diseases, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. Take a deep breath and just let all this stuff out. Come out in Jesus' name. I break your power. Mental illness. I speak to mental illness. I bind you and break your power. I command you to go. Mental illness, insanity, and the fragmented mind. Lord, right now I break the soul ties of everybody that was molested. I break the soul tie with the molester. All the molesters, you remember them. Just break the soul ties with every person. Send their soul and spirit back to them. Call back your soul and spirit to yourself, cleansed and sanctified by the blood of Jesus, so that you can be made whole. I speak healing to the fragmented mind. Lord, send out your angels. Those angels, we got the word that millions of ministering angels are being dispersed to minister to the saints. Lord, gather them up from all the scattered places and make them whole, their fragmented minds. I bind the spirit of perversion right now in the name of Jesus. All spirits of perversion, I break your power and command you to go. Oral sex, come out of the mouth. You spirit of perversion, come out of the mouth. Come off the lips. Come out of the tongue, the taste buds, the throat, the saliva glands. I break your power and command you to go in Jesus' name. All anal sex, I bind you and break your power. I speak healing right now to every body part that was ravished in Jesus' name. Come out of their bodies. Come out of their backsides in the name of Jesus. Come off of their backs in Jesus' name. Come out of their legs, their blood, their bones. Come out of their bowels in the name of Jesus. I bind fornication right now. Every spirit of fornication, I bind you, break your power, and command you to go. All spirits of rape, go in Jesus' name. Molestation, inappropriate touch, incest, I bind you and break your power in Jesus' name. I bind the spirit of the bride of Satan. Satan, we tell you right now, we are not your bride. You cannot use our bodies anymore for your perversions. I bind the incubus spirits, the succubus spirits that want to come and have sex in the night. I bind you and break your power. I command you to go and don't you ever come back. We shut the door. Just like Tamar was thrown out and the door was slammed and the lock put in place, we do that now on our bodies concerning the incubus and succubus spirits. And we give it a writ of divorcement to the spirit of the bride of Satan. We divorce you now. You do not own us. We are the bride of Christ. We were bought with a price, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I ask you right now to restore their garments in the spiritual realm. Restore their garments so that when the demons look upon them, they see the pure. Restore their purity, their cleanness, their innocence, Lord, their virginity in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for that, Lord. If you got pregnant because of molestation or being raped, if you had an abortion, we bind that spirit of abortion right now. In Jesus' name, we break the curse of death off of your life in Jesus' name. We command that spirit of death to go. We break its power in Jesus' name. All unclean spirits, come out. Come out. I command the unclean spirits, come out of the mind. Come out of the eyes. Come out of the mouth. Come out of the nose. Come out of the ears. Come off their hands. Come out of their legs, their female organs. Come out of their male organs in the name of Jesus. Every unclean spirit, move, go in Jesus' name. Come out of the bones. Every unclean spirit, come out of their bones, the marrow of their bones. Come out of their blood and come out of every internal organ. Every organ, the stomach, the lungs, the heart, the liver, the kidneys, the gallbladder, the bowels. Come out of their skin even. That's an organ, you know. Yes. The skin is an organ, so I just command all the unclean spirits to come out, even of the skin. Now I speak to the sexual spirits, all spirits of promiscuity. I break your power in the name of Jesus. All spirits of whoredom, you go in the name of Jesus. Lust, go in the name of Jesus. I bind every spirit of lust and command it to go. Every spirit of rape, molestation, or if you're the molester, I bind and break the spirit of the molester off of you in Jesus' name. All spirits of masturbation, go in the name of Jesus. Sex addictions, whether it's pornography or toys or whatever perversion Satan's brought into your life, get rid of them. Get rid of it all in the name of Jesus. I break those addictions off of your life right now in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirit of frigidity, not being able to have a right sexual relationship with your husband or your wife. All frigidity, go. Barrenness, I break your power. I speak to the barren wounds. I speak to them to be healed. I speak to them to receive seed and to reproduce in the name of Jesus. I come against impotency. Go in the name of Jesus. Every sexual dysfunction in the name of Jesus, I bind you and break your power. I come against pornography. All pornography spirits, go. Come out of their minds. Come out of their memories. Come out of their blood. Come out of their eyes. Come out of their ears. In Jesus' name, all those fantasies, delusions, and role-playing in Jesus' name. I come against adultery in the name of Jesus. Proverbs says that when you commit adultery and you chase after the harlot, it's like a dart through your liver. I speak to the livers to be healed right now in Jesus' name. I come against homosexuality and lesbianism. All perversion, homosexuality and lesbianism, I break your power in Jesus' name. Now come against all the tormenting spirits. All tormenting spirits, I bind you and break your power in the name of Jesus. You will not torment God's people anymore about things that have happened in the past. I call down fire from heaven to destroy the altar that Satan has erected for your life. I burn it up. I command it to be destroyed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And now I bind all the lying spirits. That lying spirit that's been standing beside you saying, you're never going to get free of this. You're going to have this all your life. This is who you are. I bind that lying spirit. I command it to shut up and go in Jesus' name. All familiar spirits, go. All the familiar spirits that followed you down your father's bloodline, I give leave to them right now. I bind them and command them to go in Jesus' name. I bind all the familiar spirits that came down through your mother's bloodline. In the name of Jesus, I command them to go in Jesus' name. You are loosed from those familiar spirits. Now I bind the spirit of the mean man, whoever it was. I bind that mean man right now in Jesus' name, and I command him to go and do not show yourself again in the name of Jesus. Now, I rip off. I want you to just do the action of ripping off the label that says, use me, abuse me, rape me, molest me, do whatever you feel like doing to me. Rip it off. That's not who you are. We remove that label right now, and we close and seal every door that has the been vacated. We put a no vacancy sign on us in the name of Jesus that those demons will not come back. And you know what? If they do, you just say, no, in the name of Jesus, be gone. The blood of Jesus against you. In the name of Jesus, we've been given his name and the authority to use that name to deal with these demons. Now, Lord, I speak restoration. I just speak restoration to your people. I speak a healing to their minds. I speak a healing to their broken hearts. And I restore your power to say no. No more. If anybody ever tries to hurt you again, I restore your power to say no. Most people who've been violated, their power to say no was stripped from them. I restore it. Now, in the name of Jesus, we've already asked for your garment to be restored. Lord, I ask that you would give them a clean heart and a right spirit. A clean heart and a right spirit. Now, I bind and break every spirit of backlash and retaliation that would come to torment you because you got free. Every spirit of backlash and retaliation. I bind all tracking spirits. I speak spiritual deafness, dumbness, blindness, paralysis, and incapacitation to every spirit that has been assigned to your life. In the name of Jesus, you go in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I surround your people with the mighty angels of God, shoulder to shoulder, that no evil penetrate. No evil penetrate. Now I'm going to end by reading from Isaiah 61. I want you to know what God has done. At the end of verse 2, it says, to comfort all that mourn. We are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And He took all of this on your behalf. Every torment that's been tormenting you, He suffered it on the cross so you wouldn't have to. So freely give it to Him. Release it tonight and let Him have it. He says, to appoint unto those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. Lord, I restore beauty to their lives. I speak beauty to their lives. We dust all the ashes off in the name of Jesus. The oil of joy for mourning. In place of your sorrow, your grief, He's given you the oil of joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. No more heaviness. I strip you from that spirit of heaviness. I command that spirit of heaviness to go in Jesus' name. And put on your garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. For your shame, you shall have double. For your shame, you shall have double. And for confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess a double portion. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. He says, I will greatly, and this is what you say, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Amen. Amen. We thank you, Lord. Thank you. We thank you, Father. No more devastation. Lord, for those who desire mates, Lord, I ask you to join them together quickly. Bring husbands to those women who desire to have a husband. Bring wives to those who desire to have a wife. You said it's not good for man to be alone. And we look forward to announcements in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.